Then we will begin. We'll be studying the book of Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible, which is so paramount. If you read the first four chapters of Genesis, and then the last four chapters of Revelation, they basically tell you the whole story, except for our age, this age of the sacred secret. One thing I've been thinking about lately is, what is the significance of Solomon? Have you ever read the description that our father gave on Solomon's temple? It is so elaborate that it's almost over the top. He said, why are you mentioning how many gold tablets and gold plates and how many horses and everything else in the book of Chronicles? And you're like, what is the lesson there? So I really think our lesson is, David lived 40 years, reigned for 40 years. Solomon lived for 40 years.
Lived or reigned?
Reigned. Not lived, but reigned for 40 years. Okay, so that's similarity. One was a warrior. David fought his whole life.
Yeah.
Solomon means, what's his name mean?
Peace.
Peace. So they had 50 or 40 years of peace. So I believe that the book of Revelation, the first chapter 1 through 19, is David, Yahweh as the seed of David, battling the earth. And then chapter 20 and 21 and 22 is Solomon in the reign of peace, where all the temple is rebuilt, where all the glamour comes back in, and you have these treasures. So I really believe all the details on Solomon's temple was not for Solomon. It was for Yahushua. This is your future. This is your glory of somebody wiser than anybody else in the world, somebody who is richer than anybody else in the world, and that's going to be our Lord and our Savior. So our illustration is David the warrior. That's the first part of Christ. The second part of Christ is the king who reigns, and a glory where everybody comes and bows down for you for the 1,000 years, and then when the new Jerusalem comes down, it's going to be like that forever and ever. So our lesson on the book of Revelation is looking at Yahushua as David. So we will begin in Revelation chapter 1. And we're going to look at the seven seals. Very interesting. Now, one other thing we must emphasize, the book of Revelation, I might say Revelations, but it's Revelation, is a Hebrew book. This is for Hebrews. The church has nothing to do, the Christian church has nothing to do with this book. And that's why I like the Rotherham Bible, because it never uses the word church. The church they're talking to are all Jewish synagogues. The 12 tribes are there. The 144,000 are Jewish. And so E.W. Bullinger does a commentary on Revelation, which is an excellent work, and he'll show you the hundreds of places where it's quoting the Old Testament, quoting the Old Testament, quoting the Old Testament. And many people didn't like, did not want to have the book of Revelation as part of the scripture because of that. Because it wasn't Trinitarian, and it was very Hebrew. But that's interesting how that closes out everything. So we go to Revelation chapter 1. First, we're going to see who the greetings are from. And this is great. Revelation 1, verse 4 through 6. John, unto the seven assemblies which are in Asia, favor to you and peace from here's our three entities, from him who is, that's going to be Yahweh, and who was and who is coming. Interesting description of the Creator. And from the seven Ruachs, which are before his throne, and from Yahushua Mashiach, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Isn't that great? So we have greetings from three entities, Yahweh, from the seven Ruachs who are before the, or not seven Ruachs, the seven messengers who are before, what did I say, spirits? Yes, yeah, seven Ruachs, which we'll see are messengers before the throne, and from Yahushua, So it doesn't say greetings from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so every epistle, according to Trinitarians, every epistle should say greetings from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And none of them do. And so all Catholics go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Doesn't exist. It's only in Matthew. One time in the whole Bible. So that is another thing altogether. I want to focus on this and zoom in so they can see it. This is the plan. Tell me when you're there.
I'm good.
Got it? Yeah. Okay, now you can fade back. It lays out this book, and it's called The Seven Seals. We must realize that this book is the day of Yahweh. So in verse 10, chapter 1, verse 10, I came to be in spirit or in Ruach in the Lord's day. And people will say, well, that's Sunday or some nonsense like this. No. The Lord's day is Yahweh's day or the day of Yahweh. And heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet saying, day of Yahweh is all the way through the Old Testament. It's never called the day of Adonai or the day of Adon. It's always called the day of Yahweh. So let's go to Isaiah 2, verse 12. We'll speak a little bit about the day of Yahweh. Chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 12 through 19.
650.
Now, would you want to read that, Wendy, with emphasis?
Was that what verse did you say?
12 through 19.
For a day of Yahweh of hosts shall be upon everyone who is high and lofty, and upon everyone who is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the lofty mountains, and upon all the uplifted hills, and upon every high tower, and upon every fortress wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all desirable banners, and the haughtiness of main men shall be humbled, and the loftiness of great men shall be laid low, and Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day, and the idols shall wholly pass away. They shall enter into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of clay because of the terribleness of Yahweh and for his majestic splendor when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth.
That is the book of Revelation.
That is scary.
It's called the Day of Yahweh. I'm going to go to chapter 5, verse 1. So we've got to realize who unleashes the traumas that are going to happen the day of Yahweh. And we're going to find out who unleashes this is Yahushua, the Lamb. It's not Yahweh. It's Yahushua. And people don't have an image of him like that. They're thinking of him always as giving a hug or giving a kiss or whatever you do, it doesn't make any difference. He's the one who's going to unleash, like David, justice. And so we're going to see this in chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw upon the right hand of him that was sitting upon the throne, that's Yahweh. All of chapter 4 is dealing with Yahweh.
Hold on, where are we?
No, Revelation.
Oh.
Sorry. Revelation chapter 5. I didn't say that.
It's hard with your two Bibles. It looks like you're still.
Okay. So, yeah, Revelation chapter 5, verse 1.
Revelation 5, verse 1.
And I saw upon the right hand of him that was sitting upon the throne, who is Yahweh, a scroll written within and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a mighty messenger proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to unloose the seals thereof. This is what the book of Revelation is about, unloosing the seals.
Do you know what a seal is?
Well, we'll just keep going. And no one was able in heaven or on earth or under the earth to open the scroll or to look thereon. And I began to weep much because no one worthy was found to open the scroll or to look therein. And one of the elders said unto me, Do not weep. Lo, the lion that is of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath overcome to open the scroll and the seven seals thereof. And I saw in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders a lamb standing, showing that it had been slain, and the seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven ruachs of Elohim, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and at once took it out of the right hand of him that was sitting upon the throne. So Yahushua took it out of Yahweh's hand. And when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and bowls of gold full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sing a new song, saying, Worthy art thou to take the scroll and to open the seals thereof, because thou wast slain and didst redeem or purchase unto Yahweh by the blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And does make them unto our Elohim a kingdom and priest, and they reigned on the earth. And I saw and heard a voice of many... here's another thing too. Verse 10, this is good. And did make them unto our God a kingdom and priest, and they who are to reign on the earth.
They reign.
Now, if you look at the footnote of H, because nobody's reigned on the earth during this time.
Okay.
And there we go again, inheriting the earth, the new paradox. And I saw and heard a voice of many messengers around about the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them were myriads of myriads, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that hath been slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing that was in heaven and upon the earth and under the earth and upon the sea and all things in them heard I saying, Unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. There's two. There's two entities. Be the blessing and the honor and the glory and the dominion unto the age of ages. And the four living creatures continued saying, Amen. And the elders fell down and did homage. That is David. So he's going to unleash a can of whoop-ass on the earth. And so it really comes down to the earth, all the believers are gone. So we've been taken up. And so it's just one big dark pit. So this is last call. All right, for the people who are going to repent and say, I want to come, I want to live in paradise with you. I'm going to do your will. And the people who aren't are going to be destroyed. So this is how much our Father loves us, that he will even torture a person to the point where he will turn around in a process to save them from dying forever. So let's go into Psalms 20, chapter 2, verse 1. Now we're going to see Yahushua as King David. We're going to be coming back to Revelation again.
So 22?
Chapter 2, verse 1.
What page?
We're going to Psalm. Remember, the middle of the Bible.
529. Oh,
right,
it's in the middle.
We're going to read 1 through 9. And Elijah, you want to read 1? No, don't do words. You don't have time.
Psalms 1 through 9.
Never say it loud.
6:50. Wherefore have nations assembled in
turmoil?
Or should peoples mutter an empty thing? The kings of earth take their station, and grave men have been appointed together against Yahweh and against his appointed one, saying,
Anointed one.
Anointed one, saying, let us break
asunder
their bonds and cast from us their cords. He that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. My Lord will mock at me.
At them.
Then will he speak unto them in his anger and in his wrath confound them. Yet I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. Let me tell of a decree Yahweh hath said unto me, my son thou art, I today have begotten thee. Ask of me, and let me give nations a shine inheritance
as thine
inheritance, and as thy possession at the ends of the earth. Thou shalt shepherd them with a
scepter
of iron. As a potter's vessel shall thou dash them in pieces.
And right there. That is what's going to happen in the book of Revelation. And that is Yahushua as King David. Fighting. Now go back to Revelation 19. We're going to see this image of the man of war. Revelation 19, verse 11 through 16. And I saw heaven set open, and lo, a white horse, and he that was sitting thereon called faithful and true. And in righteousness does he judge and make what?
War.
Make war. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems, having a name written which no one knoweth but himself, and arrayed with a mantle sprinkled with blood, and his name hath been called the Word of Yahweh. And the armies which were in heaven were following him upon white horses, clothed with fine linen, pure white, and out of his mouth is going forth a sharp sword, that therewith he may smite the nations, and he shall shepherd them with a scepter of what?
Iron.
And he treadeth the winepress of the wrath of the anger of Yahweh host. And he hath upon his mantle and upon his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is Yahushua as David, as a warrior fighting in the book of Revelation. So we're going to look at the seven seals, if we get time. So we go back to Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. And this is very interesting. The seven seals, the first six seals, are all talked about in chapter 6. The seventh seal is open from chapter 7 to 19. So six seals, one chapter. The seventh seal is all the rest. And as you're going to see here, we're going to see the seventh seal is broken into seven trumpets, and then it's broken into seven bowls. So actually, there's going to be 14 incidences that are going to happen with the seventh seal. So it's just not one seal. Everybody else got one, and seven is a significant number? Yes, it is. And six is a significant number? Yes, it is. That's the number of man. Now let's look at the first seal, 6:1. And Elijah, read 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2.
And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as a voice of thunder, go. And I saw, and lo, a white horse, and he that was sitting there and holding a bow, and there was given unto him a crown, and he went forth conquering, that he might conquer.
Seal 1. Okay, Melania, seal 2, 3, and 4.
And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, go! And there went forth another, a red horse, and unto him that was sitting thereon that was given unto him to take away peace from the earth, and that one another they should slay. And there was given him a great sword.
So we have the first one is conquering, the second one is slaying. Okay, Isaiah, the third seal, verses 5 and 6.
And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, "Go." And it was shot, and I saw a low and black horse, and he that was sitting therefore holding a pair of
bounces
in his hand. And I heard as a voice of the midst of the four living creatures saying, A quart of wheat from
a
denarii, and 3 quarts of
barley
for a
denarii,
and the oil and the wine do not wrong.
So this seal on the third one is going to be a famine. And that's what we're talking about, a balance weighing out things. Things are very, very expensive. Now we're going to the fourth seal about Wendy, 7 through 8.
And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Go." And I saw, and lo, a livid horse, and he that was sitting thereupon had for a name Death, and Hades was following with him. And there was given unto them authority over the fourth of the earth to slay with sword, and famine, and with death, and by the wild beasts of the earth.
So let's just think of that. You know, that is
Tombstone.
The fourth seal. One quarter of the earth is dead. Now, how many billions of people? Maybe there's, I don't know, let's just say there's 10 billion. I don't know if maybe there's 6 billion people in the world. Let's just say 10, and a quarter of that is, you know, 2.5 billion people are dead. So that's all of the United States, all of Canada, probably all North America, and South America almost, are dead in this particular time frame. That's the fourth seal. Let's look at the fifth seal. And Aaron, you want to read verses 9 through 11.
When he opened the fifth seal, I saw beneath the altar the souls of them who had been slain because of the word of Yahweh and because of the witness which they held. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Sovereign, the holy and true, dost thou not vindicate and avenge our blood from them that dwell upon the earth?" And there was given unto them each one a white robe, and it was bidden them, and they should rest yet a little while, until the number should be made full of their fellow servants also, and their brethren, who are about to be slain as even they.
So I don't quite understand that. It's like a little retrieve, but that's... that's the fifth seal. The sixth seal is verses 12 through 17, and I'll read that. And I saw when he opened the sixth seal that a great earthquake took place, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the full moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree sheddeth her winter figs, when by a great wind it is shaken, and the heaven was withdrawn as a scroll rolling itself up, and every mountain and island out of their places were shaken. You know, this is quite an earthquake. And the problem with the earthquake, there's no place to go.
Yeah. Reminds me of the movie 2020 or 2012.
Yeah, that's right. Everything was shaken. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rulers of thousands and the rich. Remember, in Isaiah 2 or Psalms 2, we're talking about the Isaiah 2 actually, the rich and the noble and the mighty and the high-minded, the lofty are going to be brought low. This is what's happening.
They're really cool.
And here, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rulers of thousands and the rich and the mighty and every bondman and free man hid themselves within the caves and within the rocks of the mountains, and they said unto the mountains and unto the rocks, "Fall upon us and hide us from the face of him that sits upon the throne and from the anger of" who?
The Lamb.
He's the one that's opening the seals. Because the great day of their anger, hey, that's two, is come, and who is able to stand? That's the sixth seal, all done in chapter 6. The seventh seal is going to be broken into 14 compartments. So first and foremost, first and foremost. Aaron's talking about, I say first and foremost.
Stall words.
Well, there's not a stall word. I used to go, that's not a stall word. Let's see the seventh seal. We're going to skip chapter 7. We're not going to cover all 14. Got bones in the middle.
Bones
in the middle.
But watch what happens. Here's the seventh seal. So if you look at this, remember, there's going to be divided into what they call seven trumpets, which are seven different events, and then it's going to be into seven bowls, which are another seven events. So 14 out of the seven. And here is the beginning. And as soon as he opened the seventh seal.
What verse are you at?
8, verse 1. And this is, okay, we're going to get everybody's attention. And as soon as he opened the seventh seal, there came to be a silence in heaven, as it were half an hour. Now, just think of
that. After the earthquake.
Yeah, after everything else is done, it's like, okay, now it's really going to happen. You thought what you just saw was happening. It's really going to take place now.
Like the eye of the storm.
This is the seventh seal.
The eye of the storm.
And I saw the seven messengers which before Yahweh do stand. And they were given unto them seven what?
Trumpets.
So then it's going to break it into the seven trumpets. The first trumpet. Everybody look at the paper. Look at the paper, Elijah.
Oh.
There's the seven trumpets. Okay, what happens with the first trumpet, Elijah?
One third of the earth burned.
One third of the earth burned. Okay, and the second trumpet.
A third of the sea dies.
Okay, Wendy.
A third of the rivers are gone.
Okay, Shauna. Oh, you don't have yours?
Fourth trumpet.
Isaiah, the fourth trumpet.
The sun and the moon.
No, one third of the sun.
One third sun and moon.
Fifth?
Open
abyss. And that's like, the
earth splitting open.
And the sixth trumpet is another third killed.
Of the leftovers.
So, of the leftovers. So there's only three quarters left. And now I'm going to kill a third of them. So half of them would be two thirds. And so there's only about, So let's just say, I guess it's not quite, but there's probably I have to do that
a lot.
One third,
a whole bunch.
Yeah, so almost half of what was. So we have 2 billion left, and there's probably about almost a billion of them dead. And the seventh trumpet. We go on to chapter 15, verse 1.
I'm glad I'm not going to be here.
Me too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a good point. Why aren't we going to be here? And this is what everybody, you don't know. But why we're not going to be here is because we don't need to be disciplined. We don't need to come. The purpose of this is to turn people. The purpose of the flood was to get rid of people. So Noah, Yahweh, when he's going to judge this severely, takes the righteous out. So Noah was taken out on the boat, Lot and his two daughters were taken out of Sodom and Gomorrah. So whenever we're going to see a heavy judgment, we will be taken out. And like I said with Aaron, I think, we'll be like in a boat for about 7 years with Christ in the heavens.
It's like Noah's Ark going
on. So just taking it out while the earth is being judged. And then we're going to be coming back to the earth after it's been restored. There will be no purpose for us to go to this and actually be wicked after you live such a righteous life.
Yeah.
So the only people who are left who are denied the lordship of Mashiach. Now there's going to be people who are going to say he is the Messiah and convert, but two people are going to be there voluntarily who are going to stay behind. And who are those two guys?
Two witnesses.
The two witnesses. Because obviously they're prophets and they're left behind. And what a sacrifice they made to go through half the tribulation. So that's really a thing. And they know they're going to be killed.
They know what's going to
happen. They know they're going to be mocked, and they know they're going to be at war for 3.5 years.
And be killed.
Yeah, and be killed at the end. And but they know they're going to ascend. I mean, what great individuals those two people are. And they're just like Cyrus. People will say that's Moses and Elijah. It's just ridiculous. They're all dead. Everybody's dead. Who are these guys? Deborah and Barnea. And just like Cyrus, when they get born, and Yahweh's going to tell them what your commission is, and they're going to take it while we take off. And obviously they're going to be Hebrews. Okay, 15 verse 1. Through 16 verse 1. Yes, we have time. Could you read 21 through 4?
And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven messengers having seven plagues, the last, because in them was ended the wrath of Yahweh. And I saw as a glassy sea mingled with fire, and them who escaped victorious from the beast, and from his image, and from the number of his name, standing upon the glassy sea, having harps of Yahweh, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of, is that Yahweh?
Yahweh.
And the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God, Lord Yahweh the Almighty, Elohim of hosts, O King of the ages, who shall in any wise not be put in fear, O Lord, and glorify thy name, because alone full of loving kindness, because all the nations will have come and will do homage before thee, because thy righteous deeds were made manifest.
And after these sayings I saw, and the sanctuary of the tent of witness in heaven was open, and the seven messengers who had the seven plagues came forth out of the sanctuary clothed with a precious stone, pure, bright, and girt about the breast with girdles of gold. And one of the four living creatures gave unto the seven messengers seven golden, what? Bowls. And we see plagues and bowls. So the plagues are going to be put into bowls. And then the bowls are going to be poured out. Full of the wrath of Yahweh, who liveth unto the age of ages. And the sanctuary was filled with smoke by reason of the glory of Yahweh, and by reason of his power, and no one was able to enter into the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven messengers should be ended. Now this is really tough. And so Yahweh has just screened himself off from everything, because now you thought, what do we got? We got six, and then there's another six, there's 12. 12 events have already happened. And now we're on the last seven. And I heard a loud voice out of the sanctuary saying unto the seven messengers, go and be pouring out the seven bowls of the wrath of Yahweh upon the earth. That is the seven bowls. Now, so Elijah, bowl one, what's going to be poured out?
Painful
ulcer.
Ulcer. On mark of beast.
Of the beast. Okay. Aaron, two.
The second bowl is sea blood all dyed.
Wendy?
And that's the third one. It's the river has turned, all the rivers have turned.
Now look at it. If you look at the trumpets ahead of us, there, you know, the trumpet's one third sea, the bowl is the sea, the trumpets on the third, rivers.
Fourth is the sun.
Okay. A river of blood. Four, Isaiah?
Sun.
Scorch.
Scorched.
Man. Oh, there's a sun, too. The fourth trumpet was sun. Sun.
Sun scorched man, too. Man.
Okay, now look at this. Number five, Elanya.
Throne of beast.
Where did the beast come from? Look at the fifth trumpet, abyss.
From the abyss.
From the abyss. Interesting. The sixth bowl, Euphrates dried up. That's a huge river, like the Mississippi River, dried up for the Battle of Har-Mageddon.
Armageddon, right?
It's Har. Har is the hill, so G is valley in Hebrew, and Har is hill. So Gehenna is the valley of Hinnom, People would say Armageddon, but it's not R, it's Har. H-A-R.
Armageddon?
Armageddon. Yeah, it's the Hill of Megiddo. The Hill of Megiddo, that's where the battle's going to be.
That's a place where it exists today?
Yes.
Go to Israel.
Now let's look at the last bowl. The seventh bowl. What's going to happen? Hail and Babylon falls.
Earthquake.
Earthquake, hail, Babylon falls. That's where what occurs. Woohoo!
Pour that bowl out.
And that's chapter 16, verse 17. Okay, Melania. So I want you to finish off 17 through 21.
Wait, in 16?
Yes.
Chapter 16, verse 17.
Are you up for it?
Yeah.
Or why don't you do 16?
No, 17.
Yeah, 16, verse 17. Yeah, go ahead and do it.
Okay, 1 second. And the seventh.
Speak loud. Get your voice.
And the seventh poured out his bowl upon the air, and there came forth a loud voice out of the sanctuary from the throne, saying, "Accomplish!" And there came to be lightnings. The voice thunders. A great earthquake took place, such as had never taken place since man came to be on the earth. Such a mighty earthquake, so great, and the great city became divided into three parts, and the cities of nations fell. Babylon the Great was brought into remembrance before Yahweh to give unto her the cup of wine of wrath of his anger, and every island fled and mountains were not found, and great hail as talents cometh down out of heaven upon mankind. And man
blasphemed
Yahweh by reason of the plague of hail, because the plague thereof was exceedingly great.
A talent is 100 pounds.
Oh,
so 100 pound stones are coming out of the earth. Would that hurt? Would it leave a mark? It'd be a little dent in the ground. That's what you'd be a little piece of blood spot right there, buried right there.
Splat.
It reminds you when the hail came out during the days of Joshua, when he was fighting, and Yahweh said there was more people were killed by the hail than were by the sword.
Yahweh's a good shot.
That's right. 100-pound things are coming down out of the skies. And in 18, verse 20... you got to finish up on time. Good. Verse 20-24. Be glad over her, thou heaven, and you saints and ye apostles and ye prophets, for that Yahweh has exacted your vindication from her. And one mighty messenger lifted a stone, as it were a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with main force shall be cast down Babylon, the great city, and no wise be found any more. And sound of the harp singers and musicians and flute players and trumpeters, and no wise be heard in thee any more. And any artesian of any art, and no wise be found in thee any more. And sound of millstone. You guys know what a millstone is? It grinds out the corn to make flour. So that's what a millstone is. So that means there's no food being made. And no sound of millstone, and no wise be found in thee any more. And light of lamp, and no wise shine in thee any more. And voice of bridegroom and bride, and no wise be heard in thee any more. Because thy merchants were the great ones of the earth, because with sorcery were all the nations deceived, and in her blood of prophets and saints. Why were the prophets killed?
Because they spoke.
What do prophets do?
speak the Yahweh's truth. Word.
Now speak. And so the tendency would be for a prophet not to what?
Speak.
And so, and in our blood of the prophets and saints was found at all, and of all who had been slain upon the earth.
So the whole city was gone because of that.
Let's look at 19 verse 1. Because I'll keep reading. Through 6. And after these things I heard, as it were, a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, what?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Which means what? What does hallelujah mean?
Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yah. That's right. The salvation and the glory and the power of our Elohim. Because true and righteous are his judgment, because he had judged the great harlot, who indeed corrupted the earth with her lewdness. Abob is perfect on this. He's the great, one of the great harlots, who is, and job is to corrupt the earth with his lewdness.
Clinton.
He's not the harlot, but he is. And hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And a second time have they said what?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And her smoke ascendeth unto age of ages. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and did homage unto Yahweh, who sitteth upon the throne, saying, Amen. What?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And a voice from the throne came forth, saying, Be giving praise unto our Elohim, all ye his servants, ye that revere him. And that's all it comes down to. Do you revere Yahweh, or do you despise Yahweh? Those who revere Yahweh will live with Yahweh, and those who despise Yahweh will not. The second death. The small and the great, and I heard a voice of a great multitude, and a voice of many waters, as a voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! Because Yahweh Elohim of hosts hath become king. Which means he's now reigning. If Yahweh was in control, he's always king. He's not king because terrible things are happening. When a king's in charge, terrible things don't happen. And if they do happen, that justice comes swiftly to extinguish those. All the people are going to be gone who are, you know, who are fought Yahweh at this particular deal. And so these are other little keys. And I think we'll end right there.
And that's the beginning of Solomon.
Yes. And so if you look at the 1,000-year reign of Christ, we're going to see the beginning of Solomon's reign. And Yahushua, yes, this is really great, back to Solomon and David. What was David's focal point to do for Yahweh? Build him a
house.
Right? He couldn't do it, but Yahweh gave him the revelation to design the whole house and to supply and put all this stuff aside. Solomon completed the house. What is Yahushua going to do on the new earth? He's going to build the temple. He's going to rebuild the whole temple. And he's going to be able to see it, set as king of kings and lords of lords. Isn't that cool? And so same thing that David and Solomon did, but he's one and the same. So these are two. He's one. He's both. All right. We'll go ahead and end, and I'll have a prophecy for everybody.
I want to find an Elohim like that. It's good to read that in Exodus. That's who you're going to rebel against?
Yeah, that's right. That's good. And this is written for anybody who's not going to bow. Your fate's right here.
You don't like it. That's your choice.
Yeah, that's your choice. That's
our Creator gave us free will.
If you don't know it, you didn't read it, it's your fault. Yeah, you didn't read the program. Yeah, I never thought it was like a football program. Okay, how's this thing end? You never read it? Oh,
firing squad. I know what you're talking about. Firing squad.
You're going to be really surprised. It's got a sneak. It's got a. I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to spoil it. So I'm not going to tell you the ending.
Pliskin.
But guess who wins?
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. Because Christ bought us.
And just like Noah's Ark, we come down, all the wicked stuff's going to be washed away.
Yeah.
And just cleansing all over.
Yeah, that's a good thing. It's almost a cleansing.
All the dirty's washed away.
Right.
Every tear will be wiped away.
That's right.
Death and pain will be no more.
There'll be a lot of bones.
It'll be a
telehistory. Okay, Father, we thank you for this night and for what a wonderful revelation. We ask you to bless Craigle Publishing, who produces the Rotherham Bible, also the Companion Bible. Thank you for the freedom that we still have in this country to do this. And we thank you for these words. Thank you, Christ, for dying for us that we could receive Ruach in order that we may prophesy, all because of you. So we thank our Father through you. As you walk in this moment and time period, put my word upon in your mind and fast upon it. Meditate upon it. Put it aside and keep meditating upon it day and night. And these truths will come apparent to you, but you must seek and you must ask. For the hidden things, the rich things, are there for you if you desire to dig into it. If you do not desire to dig, they do not come. It's only for those who have the heart and passion to want to know my treasures, which I will give freely to all those who seek.